Okay.
Good to go.
Okay, well, with Lynn Green not being here, I think the first agenda item should be to appoint a chair for the meeting tonight. Do we have any nominations?
I would nominate President Rafter to be chair for the evening.
Okay, do we...
I can't say that fast enough.
Okay, any other options?
I move that nominations be closed.
Second. Thank you, Jim. Have a good time.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Hello, Kurt.
Hello. Was I muted or am I muted now?
Pardon me?
Am I muted?
You are not. You are good.
Okay. Sorry, I was before.
Okay. Okay, very good. We'll call our meeting to order. Do we have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
That's so moved.
Second.
Okay, Ted on the motion and Mr. Genrich on the second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number two, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from June 10th, 2020? Jim Rafter will make that motion. Do I have a second?
Ted, I'll second.
Okay, Ted on the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Public appearances. We did receive one email from Alex Galt who wanted to talk about or give his position on the parking along Alloy Terrace, and we will be talking about that later. So, did everyone have a chance to read that? I hope.
Yes.
Okay. Did we receive any other communications that we know of?
No.
Okay, and I don't think we have any we don't have any guests on, so we will close public appearances. Move on to item number four, discussion action regarding capital improvement plan update. Sean.
Thank you. We've been working on updating the capital improvement plan. We've been doing so for the last couple of months. I want to point out right away that this is a fluid document. We did our best to project what we're going to be resurfacing, maintaining, and reconstructing over the next 5 years. Beyond next year, it's only a guess. And I've listed a number of other street projects off to the side that may get inserted into the plan, and there may be projects that are currently listed for years 2022 through 2025 that will get pulled out. I'm sure of that. So keep that in mind. This is focus tonight will be more on next year's projects. We'll talk a little bit about the projects from 22 through 25. At the top of the worksheet or spreadsheet, we have our maintenance projects that consist of resurfacing and rehabilitation projects. For next year, what we're proposing for next year is the east half of St. Mary's. Currently, right now, we're in the process of completing the rehabilitation of the west half of St. Mary's. The resurfacing project for next year also includes Rosemont Drive and Culb Street. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes, our plan was to piggyback the upper portion of Culb, which would be a resurface with the reconstruct of the lower half of Culb, kind of completing the whole street.
Okay. Included was the maintenance project. We want to continue we're about to start on St. Mary's. In the near future, we'll be lining sanitary sewer and pipe bursting and the laterals. Reconstruction projects next year include Beaumont Street from Green to Mission, Culp Street from Libel to the end of the street or to the East River, and Roselawn Boulevard, the west half of it. Moving downward, and I should mention that the street maintenance projects, the cost of what will be, we've estimated at $500,000, and that's what we typically use as a budget, and that is funded by the operating budget. For the street and utility reconstruction projects, we fund those by bonding, by borrowing. And next year's project is estimated at $3.6 million. Moving down.
Is that typical? Like, do we know, like, do most municipalities bond for reconstruction and then maintenance is out of operating?
I think that's fairly standard, fairly typical. Yeah. You know, we do a lot of work. For the size of our community, we're pretty proactive. But yes, that's pretty standard.
We have incredible interest rates, I assume?
Yeah.
For the bonding funds?
Very favorable.
I believe the interest rate for the 2019 bond was roughly 3%.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Stormwater projects. We don't have any planned in 2021 or through the end of this plan, but I did want to point out that the construction of a Bethel pond will start in a couple of weeks. The pre-construction meeting is next week, Thursday, the cost of which will be shared between the stormwater utility. We did bond for that, but we also had received a DNR grant to help us with that cost. Parks improvement projects. Chris has just recently started a parking lot project at Green Isle. That work will be phased over the next 2 years. I believe next year you'll be finishing that project. I will be. I have talked to Chris and I have asked him to add to the spreadsheet. We would be more than happy. Jeff or myself would be more than happy to help him come up with costs. But I do think that we should have all of our projects shown on this capital improvement plan. DOT projects. We have a couple that we're currently working on. Right now, we're currently putting together plans for the Doty Stiff Up School project. It's a sidewalk project. We'll be adding sidewalk on the north side of Longview Avenue from Doty Elementary School to East River Drive, and then along the west side of East River Drive from LeBron North to Hoffman Road. The cost of which is being spread out over two different bonds. In 19, we had bonded for the engineering preparation of plat and right-of-way acquisition for that project. And then for the 2021 bond, we'll be, borrowing for the construction of that project. Altogether, we're estimating that that we're going to need to bond for $4.7 million. I do also go ahead. Any questions?
No, I just went.
It's a little bit higher than what we had initially come up with earlier this year, but and we have time. We're just starting the budgeting process, and if need be, we can, modify this plan.
Sean, just a general question. Knowing that the economy being the way it is, and we look at St. Mary's, and St. Mary's for several years was deemed to be in need of complete reconstruction. We found a way to not go through complete reconstruction with the sewer lining and that, and just resurfacing. My question is, for the projects that we have slated for complete reconstruction, have we or can we look into the potential of not doing a complete reconstruct, but rather doing a resurfacing with maybe the lining type technology that we're using in St. Mary's?
We're gonna take a little bit of what we learned this fall, and we're gonna do our best to apply that to the Roselawn Boulevard project, a street reconstruction project plan for next year. Jeff right now is working to get quotes for the televising of next year's projects, and after we've received the televising, Jeff will take a look at the televising to determine if we can line the sanitary sewer. If so, we will do our best to implement that into the project. It is a way to save cost. We're hopeful to get. We're going to be opening our CIP project tomorrow, and we got our fingers crossed that we get some good unit prices. But we will do our best to implement that those techniques, those methods into this plan. And I've already thought of a few projects later in this plan where that may be possible. I haven't yet reviewed it with Jim and Jeff, but I'm thinking that under year 2025, if you look under the street reconstruction projects, that may be possible on Stambaugh and Revort Lane. I don't know about Vista, but I think we can on Vista too, because it appears that the water main was just recently placed, but replaced not too long ago, and if the condition of the sewers in a condition where we can line it, we'll do that. And those may become like a hybrid project, like St. Mary's did, and we'll be looking to do more of that. Yep.
Yeah, because when we were looking at St. Mary's initially, I think we were told estimate $2 million for a complete reconstruct, and we're not going to pay anywhere near that to do it the way we're doing it today. I understand, right?
Right.
So I think we have to challenge ourselves to really justify why we're doing reconstructs versus trying to extend the life of the roadways just because of cost.
Well, one of the main reasons would be the condition of the water main. Off to the side here, within the plan, there are a number of streets that need to be reconstructed because of the condition of the water main. On a yearly basis, mainly during the winter, we're out repairing the water main, and those are streets that still have cast iron water main. Those are the streets that we want to focus on for the reconstruction projects. It's a combination of things. It's the surface rating along with the condition of utilities. And you're right. I drove some of these projects today, and we do have a target-rich environment. And, yes, we need to think of different ways to improve these streets and to save cost. I don't know that I would like to have more money for the maintenance, but I know that that's probably not likely. So we're going to have to, think of other ways to improve these streets.
Kadok.
Somewhat kind of related to that, more of a longer-term question and a theoretical question. Have we considered, like, the drawbacks and the positive things about trying to move from bonding to getting this into the operating budget? I mean, I think the bonding smooths out the peaks and valleys, and it would take some work to get there. It's not like you could switch in 1 year or maybe even 5 years, but that 3%, is that considered, or do other municipalities do that?
Brad, I think that'd be more on Julie's question or to yourself.
Due to some legislation many years ago, municipalities are capped at a percentage of potential tax increases, like around the 2%, 2.5%. And our total budget is roughly around $7 million, and we're looking at a $4.6 million in streets. So, it would be very difficult for us to do that.
Okay, just curious.
No, that's a good question.
Okay. Anything else on the capital improvement, Sean?
I know that we had begun to talk about the DOT projects. Any questions with the Doty or Level Street projects?
So the Doty construction project, say in 2022, it's $620,000. Is that our share?
No. Underneath that in blue, I have the grant that we had received.
Okay. Ours is $200,000.
Okay. Yep. And for the Libel Street improvement project, the cost to construct that project is estimated at $4.7 million. We have received a surface transportation block grant for construction in the amount of $3.7 million. So our contribution, and on top of that, we do need to make improvements to the utilities at a cost of about $500,000. Those are considered non-participating, not included in the grant. So fully our responsibility, but we're going to be responsible for about $1 million towards the construction plus $500,000, about $1.5 million for construction. But that will be bonded. Year 2023 and year 2021 will be bonding for the engineering, the design of that project, and for the preparation of the plat and potentially right away acquisition.
Kadok. Okay, anything else on the capital improvement?
Great job. Any questions? All together. I appreciate it.
Yes, I would agree. Okay, any other questions on that for Sean and team? But hearing none, we will move on to item number 5, discussion action regarding sidewalk clearing policy.
President Rafter?
Yes, sir.
I would like to get a motion from this committee for a recommendation to the village board to approve the 5-year capital improvement plan.
Okay. By Kurt Beiler.
Okay. Do I have a second? Second by Ted. Any discussion?
I think just a quick comment. I would like Sean's use of the word fluid, because in the past we've been unfairly criticized about, well, you said you can do this, you can do that. And I think fluid is a key word here because surprises do happen and some things do get shifted around. So I appreciate all that.
And things will get shifted around. That's for sure.
Okay, very good. Any other discussion? We have a motion to recommend to the board approval of the 5-year capital improvement plan, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Now, number five, sidewalk clearing policy.
So the intent tonight is to begin the discussion of how we want to continue to clear sidewalk in the future. I don't believe that we're going to take any action on this item tonight, but have a good discussion and do our best to educate you on how we clear sidewalk. Late last year, there was the continuous improvement project, and the committee members had taken a look at our sidewalk snow removal policy and village code. And I'm gonna go down to our current policy and just point out what that is, what we currently do. But when we get less than 3 inches of snow, we go out and we plow village property sidewalk, roundabouts, and safe route to school routes. When we get 3 inches or greater, we go and plow the entire village. After we've been out and made one full pass, it's the property owner's responsibility to keep that sidewalk clear. The other thing included in this in the current policy is that it allows us to do additional sidewalk clearing on Webster Avenue and Riverside Drive and Alloway Avenue due to the more frequent plowing by the county and some of the challenging conditions on those streets, being sidewalk adjacent to the back of the curb, without a proper boulevard for the storage of snowage, some of the other challenges that we encounter on those streets, they're wider roadways. Riverside and Webster Avenue are four lanes. The county does not plow a lane into or onto the median. They plow the four lanes outward and onto the sidewalk, which makes it difficult for a homeowner to clear the sidewalk. They have different standards. The county have to keep, due to emergency purposes, they have to keep the gutter pan open, so they're constantly out there plowing. They plow multiple times during a storm event, and then almost on a daily basis, they're out there clearing the gutter pan. That's the current policy. I do want to currently go over our code. Unfortunately, the village code does not reflect the village's policy. The code puts the responsibility on the abutting property owner. It's the property owner's responsibility after a snowstorm to go out and clear and maintain free of ice. So we have an issue there, and we need to clean that up. I do want to point out too that the policy that we currently have was just recently revised or adopted. June of 2017, Craig Burnt had taken to the Public Works Committee and ultimately the Village Board a change to the current policy. And the policy prior to 2017 was that we would go plow in its entirety sidewalks when receiving 6 inches or greater. Is that correct, Jim?
Other than Webster Alloway, those were three.
Okay.
The last one was 6 inches.
So in June of 2017, we adopted the current policy where we had moved from 6 inches to 3 inches. Just to try to get you guys up to date or educated on policy and code and the last time we had this discussion. Talked a little bit about the bombed sidewalk. or what we consider problem area sidewalk. And again, that consists of Riverside Drive, sidewalk along Riverside Drive, at the south end of the village. We have zero to none boulevard. When I refer to a boulevard, I'm referring to the green space between back of curb and the inside edge of sidewalk. Is there a couple feet along Riverside? A foot or two, but not enough to store snow during the winter. On Webster Avenue, you all know that we have sidewalk along the back of curb. We do not have a boulevard space to store snow. And that makes it a challenge, as already described. And the amount of snow that gets piled up. I inserted some pictures into the agenda to try to describe to you the challenge of clearing snow along Webster Avenue. I'll bring up the picture. Here's the before picture. On this particular day, this was earlier this year, we had probably gotten 4 to 5 inches of snow. County had come through, bought everything, the two northbound lanes to the outside, covered the sidewalk. Within 48 hours, we had gotten out to clear it. But because of the amount and because of the condition of the existing sidewalk, we have uneven joints. We have to make multiple passes through. We come through first with the snowblower and move a bulk majority of it off the sidewalk and blow it onto adjacent property. And then it's left in this condition. And then it typically freezes that night if we don't go up there right away. And we typically try to get out there right behind this. But then with another piece of equipment with the snowplow on it, we scrape it off, and typically it's scraped into the gutter pan, and then we have to come back out and blow that over the sidewalk onto the adjacent property. So it's quite a process. That's one of the challenges we have with clearing sidewalk along Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue. It does add to the cost of maintenance. We had looked at some numbers today. Jim and I had looked at some numbers today, and on average, it costs the village somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 a year to clear sidewalk. So it is it's a significant amount. The Continuous Improvement Committee, when they were looking at our policy, they had reviewed other communities' policies and code, and the other neighboring communities put the responsibility on the adjacent or abutting property owner. DePere and Ashwaubenon and Green Bay, they all have their problem area sidewalks, and they do participate in that. But outside of that, it's the abutting property owner's responsibility. I wanted to point that out to you guys.
Sean, when you say the abutting property owner, so for example, in downtown DePere, who's responsible for doing those sidewalks?
In that particular case, I'd have to look into that, but I'm pretty sure that the city of DePere's park department takes care of that. I know they also take care of the sidewalk along Webster Avenue up to our village limits.
Okay. And how about for safe routes to school with other municipalities?
That's a good question. Some have put the responsibility on the abutting property owner. The village of Ashwaubenon has not done that. Safe routes to school projects, regardless of snowfall depth, they go out and clear those sidewalks.
Okay. I know on certain projects over the last few years at least, when residents would come and express concern about a new sidewalk in front of them, Longview comes to mind when we're talking about the Doty project. We told them that we would not, that because it's a safe route to school, we would plow that street or that sidewalk. That is our policy, right, for safe routes to school that
yes,
we plow those?
It is our current policy for safe route to school projects. Snowstorms, 3 inches or greater. Wait a minute. No.
Always.
You're right. Yes. Regardless of snowfall depth, thank you. We go out and maintain those sidewalks.
Yeah.
You're right. That has been discussed at public informational meetings for Doty, for the Webster Elementary Safe Route to School project.
Yeah.
And it was brought up last year when Jeff and I had held a public informational meeting for the 19 reconstruction projects. The 19 reconstruction project, we added sidewalk along St. Joseph Street and along Longview Avenue from Delahut to Libel. We had shared with them our current policy. And I want to make it clear that the sidewalk along the north side of Longview Avenue is not a safe route to school. Considered what is a safe route to school, it's sidewalk. Under the Doty Safe Route to School project, we will be adding new sidewalk east of the school on the north side of Longview to East River Drive. And then along the west side of East River Drive from LeBron to Hoffman.
Okay.
And, you know, we will have a public informational meeting in the near future for the Doty Safe Route to School project. So that's the main reason why we're starting this conversation. You know, are we going to change the policy, or are we going to continue with what we currently have?
Okay.
What's your department's biggest problems with our current policy?
The residents following up with cleanup.
That would probably be about it.
That's about right. Enforcement of it.
You know, as you look at this photo, you can see that's not acceptable. But we don't have the staff to be going out and physically shoveling, you know, several miles of sidewalk. So that's why we leave it up to the residents.
Can you estimate like a percentage, like of how many people get out and clean this up? Because it's left in this condition.
Well, this is something that we had done. That we had received on this particular event. We had received a storm in excess of 3 inches. So our current policy right now is when we get snow depth of greater than 3, we go out and clear all of village sidewalk. And we had gone through, and to our best ability, we had gone through with the snowblower, and we got it as close as we could to the concrete pavement, but due to the condition of the sidewalk, we couldn't get any closer. So we have to come back with another piece of equipment with a plow on it to scrape it off. But it just goes to show the challenge that the homeowner has along Webster and Riverside Drive. You know, the county comes in, they plow two lanes outward onto the sidewalk. Typically, before they get out there, they don't get out there right away. It freezes, and for storms less than 3 inches, they do their best to shovel it. And if they don't, then we do our best to enforce the policy.
Yeah, well, just as you said, with the plows throwing slush and stuff up onto the sidewalks and it freezes, residents can't clean that crap up.
No, they can't.
I suppose it's impractical to have the sidewalk relocated with a terrace or a boulevard once this is reconstructed?
That would, you know, that would be my hope, that there would be enough right away to do so.
Even in the summer, I would never take my kids up there. That's a scary sidewalk to walk.
Yeah, this is a county highway, and it's maintained by the county. On our local streets, we do our best to provide an adequate boulevard of 5.5 or 6 feet. Only under rare situations would I put a sidewalk up along the back of curb for this very reason. For two reasons. One, safety. You're putting the pedestrian closer to traffic, and then two, just the maintenance of it. It is hard.
Yeah, and when the gentleman who lives at Briar and Riverside Drive brought it to our attention that at the Hawk Crossing, you know, that whole area was just slammed with snow and trampled down, and are we proposing that it is our responsibility to keep that crosswalk open?
Right now under the current policy, it is 3 inches or greater. We will go out and clear that.
I don't mean to cut you off, but the snowfall of 3 inches. But how do we also consider? And I know we've had this conversation. If a plow comes through and puts 3 inches of old snow up there, do we consider that to be 3-inch snowfall?
No, that's correct, right?
Other than puts 3 inches out.
Okay.
I didn't quite get that.
That's not the stacking of it. That's the measurement from the airport.
Correct. Yes. It's the.
So also, if they have 2.5 inches and that's plowed up on there, then what that 5 or 6 inches sitting?
Right. It's the snow that it's based on
the National Weather Service. Yeah. What they tell me the snowfall was.
Yeah. The curb. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's where the ability for us to make a call to help these folks out is so important on this, that we can make that judgment call to go and clear that area.
There's nothing in our code or policy that prevents us from doing that, is there?
No. But that's part of the reason that was in
the current policy.
Current policy is so we can go make that call and help those folks.
Sean, who is that with you?
This, Jim Sigalski,
the street foreman.
Street foreman.
All right. Hi. Oh, yeah, you weren't here.
It would be item 4 under current policy. I have it up on the screen.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to present to you is the recommendation from the Continuous Improvement Committee. After a lot of work and discussion, they had made a decision. They provided a recommendation, and we'll go through that real quick. I have it up on the screen. We go out... regardless, we go out and clear village-owned property, roundabouts, and I guess in this recommendation, it would not include the Safe Route to School projects. 3 inches or greater, we would go out and take care of what we consider the problem areas sidewalks, and that would be Webster, Riverside Drive, and Alloway Avenue. 6 inches or greater, we'd go out and plow all sidewalk, problem areas, village properties, and Safe Route to School sidewalk routes. If we consider a change you know, I'll be bringing this back in August if need be. We really need to begin to work on educating village residents on this change and make sure that they're well aware of the upcoming change. Any other comments, Jim?
No, I think they did a good job.
Can you help me with the all sidewalks one and done?
That would be one pass. One pass, the resident is responsible for whatever we leave after we go through.
So is that a snow blow and then a scrape?
Well, we snow blow, we use the blower on Webster, Galloway Avenue and Riverside every time because we can't leave anything into the street. We have to blow it back onto the yard. We don't have any snow storage there. That's why we come back with the plow, clean it to the pavement, hopefully, and then re-blow it. The rest of the village, we can normally do with just the plow because we have a snow storage area. If I think that's kind of what you're asking, is some of it's always blown, some of it is never blown. But Webster, Galloway, Riverside always have the smoke. And we have to make sure that we clean that pan, the curb pan, because like Sean had said, the highway department's policy is that the curb pan is clear. If there's anything in there and that night driver comes through, he's going to come back and hit that curb pan and put whatever we left back on the sidewalk. That's why we have to do our best to really clean it the best we can, if that makes any sense.
So today we are, for Safe Routes to School sidewalks, we are plowing them all the time. And the new recommendation is only when it's 6 inches or greater.
Correct.
That will probably, as I recall the discussions about Brookridge for Webster School, I think that was one of the things that got some agreement. The property owners liked the fact that we were clearing the snow, so they probably wouldn't like this change, but I'm not saying not to do it that way, but that's, we'll have to be prepared for their negative feedback on that one.
So how much are we paying on snow removal for sidewalks currently?
Roughly speaking, $25,000 to $30,000 a year, and you know we try to do our best to try to break out that cost. On average, to clear a snowstorm of 3 inches or less, we had come up with a dollar amount of about $4,000 to $5,000 to clear a snowstorm on a yearly basis. A snowstorm of 3 to 6 inches. We're looking at anywhere from 8 to 10, and then again that is on a yearly basis. A snowstorm in excess of 6, you're looking at a cost of roughly $12,000 to $14,000 a year, for a total of $25,000 to $30,000.
Okay, and what
average, with our average amount of, we used our average amount of 3 to 6s and 6 and over. So I think we used 6 and 6.
Okay, what's your projection then for savings using this new plan?
Somewhere between $7,500 and $10,000. That's the reason just to start this discussion. I'd like to lay out those numbers in a summary and review those with Julie before
okay.
Get, make a decision on this.
I would also like to see us, I know we have talked to the county about trying to coordinate so that we're not, so they don't keep going back and doing the plowing, but it seems as though they need to. So I think we should go to the county and say, you're putting an undue burden, with all due respect, on our homeowners and on the village, quite honestly. It's not, you're not doing it maliciously, but nonetheless, it is putting a burden on the homeowners by having to go back, and it's really the second pass and the third pass of the slop on the street that freezes, and that's the heavy stuff, right? And I would ask for their financial help.
And Jim has a great working relationship with the county, and when we do have a snowstorm, they're on the phone, and Jim's trying to do his best to coordinate the clearing of those sidewalks after they've come through a couple of times. But the I think the bigger issue is that their standard is greater than our own for emergency purposes. They have to keep that street clear, and they have to also keep the gutter pad clear. So we may get a snowstorm on Tuesday, but they're constantly plowing that street almost on a daily basis. They're like you said, they're cleaning the slop out of the gutter, and it's thrown on the sidewalk, and it makes it a challenge.
And what they're doing is creating a safety hazard for those who travel the sidewalk. So that's why I think we should make an official request that they cover the cost of additional snow plowing on the sidewalks. It's a county highway.
What keeps them from coming back and saying we should have had better designed sidewalks replacement?
Ted, it wasn't our design. It's county highway.
It is county design then? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. Appreciate the clarification.
Would increased communication help? Like if they were to give us their routes, their plans, maybe access to the GPS or whatever, would that make any difference, or do we already have that kind of information?
I'm in constant contact with Mike during snowstorm. He and I talk all the time about where his guys are, what I can start snow blowing or plowing. He'll let me know that, okay, that part of the route is done. He gets a hold of his guy, asks where he's at. That driver would be moving to a different section maybe, and he gives me the okay to go and start plowing. So I talk with Mike all the time. We have an excellent relationship.
So, but they come back even after that point when they said, you're ready to go, and they still get the gutters.
They have a tier 2 standard, which is it's a wet policy within so many hours, and they have to keep that gutter pan clear. So if somebody decides they're going to clear their sidewalk after we went through our first path, and they decide they're going to push that into the gutter, that midnight operator is going to come through, and he's going to hit that and get it out of that gutter, because it's his responsibility to keep that curb pan clear. So that's one of the reasons why you'll have a second splash call. There are other things. Sometimes there might be some miscommunication on his end, which he freely admits to me, that his operator went out on his own and took the pan up. And it's not a perfect system, but we're doing the best we can, Mike and myself.
So this is just to get the ball rolling, right, Sean?
Yeah. My hope is that in August that we can make a decision on whether or not we want to change the policy, and if so, what would you like us to change? Continuous Improvement Committee had presented a recommendation and get a new policy adopted so that we have one in place when we go and talk to the Doty Safe Route to School, those that will be impacted by the Doty Safe Route to School project. There'll be a public informational meeting probably end of August, September, and you know, would like to. They're going to ask the question, who's going to clear the sidewalk in the winter, and we'll have to explain to them what our policy is.
We will have snow storage for that question.
And that's a good point. Thanks, Jeff. We're building sidewalk along Longview Avenue, or we're proposing to build sidewalk along Longview Avenue and East River Drive with the proper boulevard for snow storage.
Yeah, and I think we probably have two different issues, right? You've highlighted Webster Riverside and Alloway. Those are a different kind of a problem, because we're dealing with county plows versus village plows. And you know, like, for example, there's a gentleman who lives at West Briar Lane in Webster. He's in his 90s. There's a bus stop there. He doesn't have a sidewalk in front of his house in Briar, but of course there's one on Webster. He can't get out there and do it, and it's really a public sidewalk, right? That is not, I don't consider that a private sidewalk as I would, not private, but side street sidewalk. Safe routes to school, I think that's a very different issue. I think it's great that we do plow them. I don't know that we have to continue, but we did make a promise, so we have to go back and see what our promises were. And quite honestly, for the safety of residents and kids, I personally don't mind spending $25,000 to $30,000 a year. That's me.
No, Jim, I'd agree with you, and I think the potential spin on that could be really, really bad. If we were to cut that, it'll be a last resort.
It's surely not an easy thing, and I commend the committee for trying to be more efficient. I don't know that there won't be a good solution to this problem, period, where you have to try and come up with the best possible. And I think what we have to do is, with a project like this, especially along Riverside and Webster, it has to be safety first. The pedestrian safety has to be paramount. Because we've had people walking in Webster during snow, you know, because they can't walk on the sidewalk. And people have to get to those bus stops to be able to get to work and that sort of thing. So it's a quagmire.
But the other thing we need to do at a minimum is to amend the village code to reflect the policy, whatever that might be. The two need to be the same.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay. Any other discussion points? Any feedback for the committee? Is this a good start from your perspective, Sean?
I think so. We covered a lot of information tonight and worked to put together some numbers, or to nail down the numbers that I had reviewed with Jim today, with Julie. Okay. And put together a summary and provide it on the next Public Works Committee meeting.
Okay. And I am actually serious, not going at the county and saying you're causing this trouble, but asking for their assistance. Everyone's hurting from tax revenue. The county's hurting from tax revenue and all that. But I think it would be worth the ask to see if they can help us out financially, whether they can find grants or whatever.
Well, maybe that would change the way they do things.
I can definitely do that. I think I know what the answer will be, but it was worth a try.
Yeah. Okie doke. Okay. Let's go back.
ask real quick, sorry if I missed this.
Yeah.
Are there areas in, well, I guess, Green Bay proper, other regions that have the same issue, and have we learned from them at all how they're handling this or what they're doing with it?
Yeah, we have reached out to the other communities, talked to De Pere, and their residents along Webster Avenue had petitioned the city to clear the sidewalk along Webster Avenue, and the city maintains the sidewalk along Webster Avenue. Green Bay, they do have problem area sidewalk as well, and I think through the same process, residents did submit a petition, and City of Green Bay has taken over the maintenance responsibilities. And I think that's true in all the other neighboring communities. I know it was true in Wausau when I worked there. Webster Avenue is really no different than Grand Avenue in Wausau, and there's sidewalk butting back the curb, and a large majority of that was maintained by the city. So, yeah, not uncommon.
Gives us a little insight as to what the county's probably going to tell us then, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine they tried to go the county route and that failed.
I would love to see a long-term plan or at least feasibility study on creating a boulevard.
I didn't specifically talk about it when we reviewed the capital improvement plan, but the county is proposing two projects in the near future. Not a reconstruction project, but a concrete pavement repair project north of 172 and 2022, which would be from Highway 172 to the village limits. They're not proposing to improve the sidewalk. That would be under an agreement with them. The village responsibility, and in the CIP plan, I did put a dollar amount for the repair of sidewalk, and we would include that in their project, and because of that, get a better price if we were to go out and bid it separately. So, in 2024, the county is proposing the same type of project south of 172 to. I want to say Hoffman, but I think it's further south. But that man, I can't. But no, they're not going that far south. I want to say it's Rosemont, Arbor Rosemont. So they don't have any plans in the near future to reconstruct the roadway, and that would be the opportunity then to add a boulevard.
I wonder if there's grants for something like that. I'm sure there is, but...
I'm sure that there are. The challenge with doing anything right now is that there's no right-of-way, but that can be overcome, too. No right-of-way... their walls, great differences, but yeah.
Is Webster Avenue up in Green Bay? That's not county, is it?
Correct. The City of Green Bay has jurisdiction of Webster Avenue. And De Pere as well. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Is it? Okay. Oh, you're right, yes.
The red truck's Paul Webster.
Yep.
Okay, well then that's a little different.
You have a little more control than what they put on the sidewalk.
Yes.
But maybe that's an option. See what the jurisdiction of Webster is.
That is a discussion that has been had, is whether or not we're willing to take over jurisdiction of Webster Avenue.
Right.
If we were to do that, there are opportunities then where we could narrow lanes and work inward to create space. We brought that up before to the county, but their standards are really rigid, and we had asked if
they would be willing to accept the narrower lanes that we could create. I don't know if we had specifically asked about a boulevard, but amenities, bike and ped facilities. So.
I think maybe we need to pull our county supervisors into a discussion, too. Let them represent us at budget time.
Election time.
Yep. Okie doke. Well, thank you on that. Let us move on to item number 6, Webster Avenue Corridor Study.
Trevor, are you on the line?
I am.
Oh, you are. Okay. This is something that we had discussed not too long ago, Trevor and Brad and Julie and myself. And it's been something that was started by Grave, I think, as early as 2012. Most recently in 2017, they had worked with Craig to put together a streetscaping plan with bike and pedestrian facilities along Webster Avenue, along with other amenities that included boulevards, space between the back of curb and sidewalk for benches and other, maybe possibly planters. Because of the development proposed along Webster Avenue, we would like to further that study, put together a corridor study. And I've been playing phone tag with Grave, and I haven't yet talked to him, and it'll be my intention to do that soon, but to talk to them about the possibility for moving from a streetscaping plan to a corridor study that would look at all of our options. Taking over the jurisdiction of the roadway from the county, and what would that cost be, and the maintenance of the street, and with taking over the jurisdiction, and maybe this is just a segment of it, maybe the county would tell us, this is the segment that you'll get jurisdiction over. You don't tell us, it'd have to make sense with how they maintain the roadway. But to start to come up with alternatives and costs to present to you and the village board members, because I know Trevor's putting together some pretty exciting developments along Webster Avenue.
So how does the corridor study differ from what we had done before? I mean, we hired the architecture firm, we hired Grafe.
Grafe had looked at the TIF area. They had looked at they had come up with an alternative a proposed alternative for Webster Avenue. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Trevor, but from St. Joseph Street to Culp, is that correct?
Right.
And they had looked at, they had developed a typical section, and I don't have the plan in front of me, but from that, based on input that they had received from the village board, come up with a cost. This would build on what they've done so far. This would look at, some other alternatives. And I don't have my notes in front of me, and I apologize. I haven't had a lot of time to spend on this, but there were some other things that we would like them to look into. One being that if we were to take over the jurisdiction and have more control over what we build, look at, okay, what would be that cost to maintain Webster Avenue? The pavement and the plowing. There were some other things that we want them to look into, and I want to talk to them about and determine if this were to make sense to take it one step further.
Okay, so you're going to come up with a proposal then?
Yes.
For what that corridor study will do, and then will that be at the next Public Works meeting, where you
as soon as possible. I know that Trevor would like to get something started soon, and we do definitely want to make decisions before 2022. Before if we're gonna possibly
take over jurisdiction or work with the county and use their standard to develop a section for the reconstruction of Webster Avenue and determine the limits of the project. We want to do that before the county's concrete repair project proposed for 2022.
Yep. Got it. Okay, so there's nothing else you need on that except to let us know that that's
exactly. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Trevor, do you want to add anything?
I would just like to add, and correct, it was Alleyway Avenue 2 called. I looked at.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, the funding of this study, as well as a portion of the project, the reconstruction project, would be funded through the TIG. So it's a different funding source than I think some of our other road projects. Just something to consider, I guess. The reconstruction of Webster Avenue from, I believe, Alloway Avenue north to the city limits was identified in the 2012 TIG project plan. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, moving on. We have item number 7, discussion action on Claude Alloway Terrace parking restriction. How did this start? How did this come about, Sean?
It was a complaint that we had received from a resident in that neighborhood.
Okay.
I don't know if it was Alex. And I know, Trevor, you had received some phone calls some time ago. I took a look at it earlier this month or in June, and it is a safety issue, and we do want to correct or improve the situation. And I have included in the packet a map along with some pictures. And I'd like to talk off the pictures and then propose to you what the plan might be here to improve the situation. As mentioned earlier, you had indicated that Alex had provided a public comment, and I read through it, and I emailed that to all of the committee members earlier this afternoon, and you've had a chance to read it. I want to look at, and on your screen is a picture of somebody driving north on Riverside Drive, and this is the issue. There are a couple issues here. Alloway Avenue is a narrow roadway. From face to curb to face to curb, it's 23 feet wide. We do currently restrict parking on the north side, and I believe that's for the entirety of Alloway Avenue. On the
Terrace?
North. Terrace. Thank you. I lived on the street. I should have that right. The problem is when somebody's heading north and wants to turn, make a right-hand turn and head east on Alloway Terrace, they begin to make that movement, and somebody's coming down or heading east on Alloway Terrace towards Riverside Drive, or west on Riverside, west on Alloway Terrace towards Riverside Drive, and people are parked on the south side up to the corner. They turn into what would be the westbound lane, and then they look up to see that there's a car coming down the hill, and because there's somebody parked on the south side, and because the road is narrow, two cars can't pass at the same time, and they're stuck, and they stop with possibly the end of their vehicle sticking out into Riverside Drive, which is a safety issue. Cause a rear-end accident. It's a safety problem that we want to improve. I've got a picture that's looking west on Lake Terrace. You can see that there are cars parked on the south side, but not up to the corner. There's a sign on the north side that says no parking on the side of the street. I want to look at the map, and what I've come up with, and I think it is a fair compromise, because a lot of people that live on the south side, because of a narrow driveway or lack of driveway behind their house, they like to park on Alloway Terrace. If we were to restrict parking on the south side, it wouldn't have to be for the entire length of the street. It could be a certain distance from the corner, 50 feet or 100 feet. 50 feet would allow that property owner at the corner to park adjacent to their home and for whatever reason, walk to their house. 50 feet would allow storage of at least two vehicles. It'd allow a car to turn in and then hopefully look up the hill roughly 250 feet to Jackson Street to see if a car's coming, and then to pull out and to head east. I think this is a fair compromise, one that we can go on and implement as soon as we call in a digger's locate. There'd be a sign that would be placed, no parking here to corner on the south side, and it would be placed from the end of radius 50 feet east, and still allow the property owner to park close to their house. We can implement this and monitor the situation, and if need be, we can expand on this.
I personally like that.
Go ahead.
Go on, Ted. I'm sorry.
Jim, no, I'm sorry. You go right ahead.
I just want to say I do. I like the whole compromise idea. If you think this will improve the safety, let's go with that. And if it needs to be tweaked later on, we're trying to do minimal impact to the residents' lives.
Correct.
Yet providing safety.
How wide is the resident lot there?
100 feet.
100 feet, so we've got 50 left, okay.
Yep.
Makes sense. Good compromise.
I was going to ask, do we all think that 50 feet is enough to block off? Is that truly enough to have room for one or two cars that pull in and try and go east on Terrace to actually stop and wait for westbound traffic to go by them?
I think so. This isn't a through street, so there isn't a whole lot of traffic on it. So I would think that storage enough for two cars would be enough.
Is it 50 feet from the edge of Riverside or 50 feet from the start of Alloway Terrace after the actual corner there?
From the end of radius.
End of radius, yep. So, and, you can see my cursor.
Yep. Okay.
That's highlighted in red. On the map.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing you're looking for a recommendation to suggest to the board that they approve that.
Yes.
Does that require board approval?
It does.
Okay.
It requires an ordinance change.
Yeah.
Okay.
The village code.
Well, I'll make a motion that we recommend to the board that they approve Sean's plan of making no parking for that 50 feet from end of radius on the south side of Alloway Terrace.
I'll second that. Ted?
Seconded by Ted. Any discussion? We have a motion to recommend to the board the parking restrictions on the south side of Alloway Terrace, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8, discussion action, engineering services for 2021 street and utility reconstruction project.
So just recently, we had sent out a request for proposals for the engineering of next year's reconstruction projects. That went out June 16th, and we had received proposals on the 7th of July. Those were scored by Brad and Jeff and myself. The scores are up on the screen. They weren't scored on price. They were scored on qualifications, schedule, and Skull. We had scored Ari Smith the highest for a couple of reasons. One, qualifications. They had a good mix of experience. Those with municipal and transportation experience. Their scope of work was the scope of work in cost was very detailed and thorough. And because of that, they were able to put together a detailed schedule. I'll go to their scope. In our RFP, we had asked for a detailed breakout of the scope and cost by street, and they did exactly that. And because of that, I think they understand what it will cost to engineer this project, and they are, in my opinion, and in the opinion of Jeff and Brad, the most likely to get this done by January. We want to get this project out early. We're starting early. Our hope is to have final plans and specs by the end of December. And if we can do that, I think we can see some considerable cost savings. That's been a trend lately, to get your project out as soon as possible. To present it to contractors when they're looking for work. I think they're the most likely to do that. I do want to make it clear, though, that JT Engineering, Meaden Hunt, and Robert E. Lee are all qualified consultants, and they all could do this work. But it's our feeling that they're most likely to get it done by January. And we do have a tight schedule. I do want to mention that they had put together the 19 plans, and they were a success. During construction, we didn't discover any plan errors, and no costly change orders. So, on top of that, we got great reviews by the contractors, which we want that. We want contractors that bid on our projects. Got a comment from Todd Dorner, who had built one of the projects. He just said, I just hope I get the 2021 project. And he said, I know how hard that is to get back-to-back projects. And we want to keep that momentum. The other reason, too, our current workload, we're busy. Jeff's going to be extremely busy here in the near future. There are going to be multiple projects that he'll be overseeing, and at the end of that, when he comes in, we're going to have to put together a street resurfacing project. So I want to hand this project off, and I feel that I can hand it off to Ari Smith, and it's mainly because they put together the plans for the 2019 project and get it done with a whole lot, with possibly less effort from us, assistance from us. So
are they going to commit to having the project done by the end of the year, by January?
They had indicated yes. Their schedule is provided. I'll bring that up. You know, there are always challenges that come up that you don't think of. But, yeah, to their best ability, you know, they're committed to getting this job done late in December.
Would Robert E. Lee, who came in at least the next highest overall score, would they commit to having it done by January?
Well, their schedule indicates that it would be done in December, as end of December as well. They all did. They all indicated that. There, like I mentioned before, there are things that come up that we didn't think of that we may encounter that would take some additional time. It also somewhat depends on our availability to review the plans when they come in and do that in a timely fashion. So, when we get preliminary plans, we're going to review those right away and quickly quickly turn around to the consultant or any comments that we have. And that will go a lot smoother with somebody that has already put together our plans. They already have our CAD drawings. They have all of the plan sheets. We had, in some effort, helped train them in how we want to see things done. So they know what our standards are, and they've really got a head start over the others because they put together the 19 plan set.
Okay. Is there a sense that we could hopefully offset the majority of that $32,000 to $52,000 increase over the cheaper bids? We could maybe recoup some of that through efficiencies and all the rest?
Yes. It's about a $23,000 difference from Robert E. Lee to Ari Smith. And they were we had scored Robert E. Lee out of 13, so they were the second highest. Yes. We could, I'm trying to come up with a number, but the sooner we can get this project up, the better. Hundreds of thousands of dollars difference between a project let in January and one let in March, when contractors already have a couple of projects under their belt and
So what you're saying, Sean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're not confident that Robert E. Lee can deliver in the time that we need it to be delivered.
I would say that. I would say they're less likely to.
If we get them to commit, and I'm just asking, if we went to Robert E. Lee and said, or to any contractor, guaranteed gets done by January 1 or whenever you want it done, and if not, are you willing to pay or to accept the penalty?
But that's tough because there are always things that come up we don't think of that require additional time and effort. The other thing too that is our availability to assist possibly a different consultant and to help them through the process like we did with Ari Smith and 19. We spent a lot of time with them developing our standard and we own those CAD drawings and those would be sent to another firm, but they know our preferences. They know how we like to see things. We've already talked to our concepts. We'd have to do the same with these other firms, not to the same level because we've got a standard in place. But it would require more time on our end, and we're busy. Not that wouldn't do it. I do want to get somebody else, get these other firms an opportunity so that it isn't just one firm. We do have a lot going on, and our availability will be somewhat limited this fall. Just to point out some of the projects. The sewer lining project will start soon in August. And then after that, the pipe bursting project will be completed in September. Jeff will be overseeing both of those projects. At the end of that, then we have to get St. Mary's paved. And within a couple weeks, Bethel Baptist Pond project will start.
So that's what it is. It's the amount of work that we would have to put into the project to help them be successful.
Possibly, because I do know the people at Robert E. Lee and Mead and Hunt and JT, but I haven't worked with them like I had with Ari Smith. What I'm trying to explain is Ari Smith is probably the most likely to get this done by January. It may not get done until end of January, but they're the most likely to, and they would require less effort from us. So, it'd be my recommendation to because of those reasons to move ahead with Ari Smith.
Okay.
Okay, so you're looking for a motion then to recommend to the board to go with R.A. Smith.
And Brad or Jeff, do you guys have any comments?
You just covered everything that we talked about when we met to decide, and you hit it spot on. They are probably the most likely to get it done with as little guidance from us, seeing that we had them last year, which should lead to our success come January and February.
And the other thing, too, I want to point out is if you look at the overall cost for this work in comparison to the actual cost to construct, we're looking at something a little bit less than 3%. When I come up with a cost to engineer next year's project, I had come up with a cost of $140, and that included the televising that Jeff is currently working on, the soils investigation, and engineering. I had budgeted $104. This came in less than what I had anticipated. In April, I had come to the board to fund this project, or the design work, by means of excess bond monies in 19.
Okay. And the reason I'm pushing back, if I'm pushing back, is because that's what we've got to do. Right? We have to, right now, with the economy especially, and we've got our finance committee getting going, and there's just, we have to look at everything, and when you're looking at a $23,000 difference from number one to number two, and they both get high scores, we have to ask. And I'm sure the board will ask. So, if it is approved to recommend to the board, I would suggest that you try and come up with the amount of time that our staff will save by going with Aries.
And also, the possible difference in bids. I don't know if there's a way to quantify that, but putting it out for bid in January versus March, I see that as possibly even greater savings.
Yeah, we could compare our project to projects that were bid out earlier, and I know that it was hundreds of thousands of dollar difference, but there was a lot of work that year, a lot of work.
Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion to recommend to the board awarding R.A. Smith the contract?
I would make that motion to award the contract, or to recommend awarding the contract to R.A. Smith, with the caveat the staff has done a lot of homework, and they are able to defend the cost increase in terms of long-term cost savings.
Okay, Trustee Genrich with the motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Recommendation or just a comment. A lot of the time when I am on committees scoring engineering firms, we'll have the different categories. Usually it's, you know, four or five or six, but one of them is cost. And then you could weight each category. So experience, schedule, you know, maybe experience is 40%, schedule is 30%, and cost is only 10 or 15%. Depending on how you want the project to go or what you're really looking for. But that's what we've done in the past, and it works pretty well. You can make it up yourself pretty quick with a spreadsheet. I have some old ones if you ever want to look at them. But at least so that cost is factored in there, even though it might be a smaller percentage of the weight of the score.
If you don't mind, Kurt, could you email that to me?
Thank you.
Make a note.
Thanks, Kurt.
Sure.
Okie doke. Moving on to number 9. Report on 2020 construction project update.
Beth is going to provide an update for you guys.
Yes, good evening. Just run down quickly the 2020 construction project update. It's probably a good lead-in. We got this project out very early this year, and I believe we did see some cost savings by getting it out early. We have put these projects out in the past. In June was probably the latest. We've done it in March. We've done it in April. We got this one out very soon in January or February. We did see a great savings. So this was kind of proof of what we are saying. Project went very well. We got it out early. It went very well. At this point, on many of them, we're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But let me run through the streets real quickly. St. Mary's Boulevard, Riverside Drive to the east, we have completed the initial paving. We completed the curb and gutter. We have a fair amount of the turf restoration completed. We are waiting on the bid for the sewer lining, and our project for the pipe bursting just went out today, and we are anxiously awaiting that bid opening. We are hopeful to complete the final paving in early October to mid-October and have that street wrapped up this year. Stanton Court, Arbor Lane, that went very well. That is paved. Curb and gutter is completed. Turf restoration has been completed, and we are monitoring that to see how it's going. Garland Street, another street that went very well. That was a maintenance project. Paving is completed. Turf restoration is completed, and we are monitoring that one as well. At the Alloway Terrace Alley, paving has been completed. Gravel shoulder, we are waiting on the contractor to come back and install the gravel shoulder. After that, we will be doing a couple lawns that need to be touched up. The East St. Joseph's Alleyway behind Associated Bank, that paving has been completed. The restoration there has been completed as well. The Old River Condominium Trail, the paving has been completed on that one. Shouldering has been completed. We are awaiting the landscaper to come back and do some of the turf restoration. The Longview Avenue, Longview Pond, there were a few segments of that trail that we did some repairs on. That has been completed. The Bethel Baptist Pond, pre-con on that is coming up shortly. That project will be started, I believe, mid-August. They will start with the pond, and then the pipe work will be completed after that. Yeah, Sean will update you on the scan pipe.
The work on the village's water tower has started. It started this week. It actually started earlier, and hands kudos to the water department to come up with a way to continue to provide water to Alloway during this project. They had are able to maintain system pressures, and we had in the project provided temporary pressure tanks. But it's been a smooth process, and hats off to the water department. The project started today. The tower has been completely drained. The work consists of power washing the outside of the tank, spot painting the exterior of the tank, spot painting on the interior, and some minor structural repairs inside and outside. We anticipate this project being done middle to end of August.
Okay. Where does all the water go when you drain the tank?
In the storm sewer.
Wow.
Okay. How many gallons?
A million gallons.
Holy crap.
I can't just use it slowly? And then once it's empty, start working?
No. Unfortunately, no, you can't. You can't put it into the system.
Anybody got a pool? Anybody want a pool?
I'll yeah, take really. Eight, I'll take 8,000.
Okay, any questions for the team on the update? Thank you for all your hard work, guys. I hear good things from residents, and that's always a good thing.
Sure.
Okie doke. Moving on to item number 10, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I would make that motion.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by. Was that you, Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, seconded by Kurt. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for all your hard work. Keep it up. We'll look forward to seeing you soon.